You're listening to a podcast from oxinabox.co.uk with Catherine McAllister.
Hello, so I'm here with Tommy Fiendish in the Danzig Gallery in Woodstock, and we're here with Dave Davies, who owns the gallery, talking about Tommy's new show, which is opening on November the 30th. Dave, can you tell me a bit about why you wanted to give Tommy his first ever solo show?
A guy called Graham Fudger came to the gallery, and he's working with a lot of graduate artists, and he showed me his portfolio and said, you know, we're working with these guys. Most of the people we work with are sort of very famous, very often dead people. So it's not sort of what we do, but when he showed me his work and I looked through and I saw Tommy's work, it sort of, bang, it hit me. It was very different, very exciting. It was something we'd never worked with and never dealt with in the gallery, but something I needed to show Woodstock.
Brilliant. So, Tommy, you came to show Dave your work. He loved
Hello.
It. So, what was the? You had to go back. Did you have to sort of lock yourself in a room and really get started on this? What are you going to be showing?
There was a load of stuff that I already had, but I did do a few specifically for Woodstock at the request of Dave. A couple of the Winston Churchill ones as well. So, generally, don't do portraits or famous figures at all. But this was something that interested me because it was site specific as well, so I think it was necessary. Yeah, it's just going to be a selection of what I have at the moment that is all my best stuff.
It's a bit of a departure in a way for both of you, isn't it? It's a bit of a departure, you, Dave. For I mean, you know, your gallery's very well known. A lot of pop art, a lot of sort of very bright, colourful pieces. Your stuff is a bit different. It has quite a dark element to it, doesn't it?
It does have a dark twist, yeah, I'd definitely say that. But each, even though it has an element of darkness, it's still got that kind of twist of macabre drollery. So it's got a comedic element as well as being dark. I mean, it's a lot of social commentary stuff, and I think the way that I'm viewing that is with quite a dystopian view. There is light at the end of this tunnel, I think. It's a bit of a mixture.
Now, you were picked up, weren't you, almost as, well, probably whilst you were still at art college, but certainly since you graduated. You said, was it the Saatchi Fair where you sold everything you had just to exhibit in it, and everything took off from there?
I didn't sell everything I had. I mean, I put everything I had into it to be able to get the money to do it, and I'd put my best work in, and I think it paid off. You know, it was definitely a gamble, but you have to really put yourself on the line for these things, and if that's what you wanted to do, and it was really what I wanted to do, and it paid off. And then I managed to fund the next one, which also paid off, and the third one, and I'm hopefully going to be doing the next one if I get accepted. But I also like to branch out to doing the New York fairs as well, and some of the American ones I've been recommended to do. And it's just going to be great to have an entire gallery to make up myself as well in Danzig. So I'm very excited about this specifically because I've been wanting to do a solo show for a while. I mean, it's a nice sized space as well. So just to be able to do all my stuff, I mean, I have got quite a few bigger ones, yeah, it's going to be a good blend, I think, of all my best work that's about at the moment.
Now, you've said that your art is quite influenced by the sort of numerous incredible genres that you have taken part in throughout your life, notably music, graffiti. You were a tattoo artist for many years.
I was.
How has all that sort of panned out in your art, and how has it helped you to develop as an artist?
I think different ones teach you different skills. So, I mean, I still use bits of it. I mean, I've done sign writing as well as that, and I use bits of lettering, and it's painting techniques as well, because for certain things you're using certain techniques to do it, and certain types of paint as well, and you're learning about all these different materials and collecting all different brushes, for example, even so. Things you'd use for sign writing you wouldn't necessarily normally use for painting, but they always come into play in some way if I'm looking for certain effects, or I just like bringing all these various areas that I'm doing and sticking them into one whole element that can represent all these ideas that I have. So for tattoos as well, as definitely elements of my older designs kind of creeping in, and street art stuff as well. I've just recently started doing something where I'm painting more graffiti backgrounds into my architectural pieces. So it's this series called which is the Staircase series as it's known, but it's called Temporality and Significance, which is based on my research from abandoned spaces during my degree. And it was the staircases in these places that was grabbing me most. So much as they're like all these regimented sculptures within these places, as well as the mystery of, you know, what's upstairs, you can't see what's there, you don't know what's going on. It's just this complete element of mystery. And with the abandoned spaces, there's always that feeling of what went wrong. You know, what went wrong here? It's such a grand space. Why is it now in this position? And these spaces just make your mind fizz and, you know, gives you ideas. But the graffiti backgrounds, from what I've been thinking about, when you're coming to a city on the train, you're coming into the centre and there's more and more graffiti as you get in, it just becomes covered. And I think this makes it feel like the walls become alive. So what you're seeing is not necessarily, you know, well, you might like it or you might hate it, you might think it looks terrible or you might not. But what you're seeing is evidence of people with ideas, opinions and creativity. And this, for me, makes the walls feel like they're alive. So when I'm doing these architectural things, even though there's no characters or human representation in there, it's the graffiti on the walls that bring the walls to life rather than the human characters.
You've said that you're happy to talk about your art and you like writing about your art, and that's something you learnt at university, but that it's good to hold something back, that the mystery within is quite important to you and you don't
want to give
too much away.
Within the piece, yeah, so without being too graphic. So my dad was saying, you know, you can dial it back, but you don't have to give so much away. You can say what you're saying, but use more subtle and powerfully contained images rather than just so out there. You know, you could say what you're saying in a certain colour tone even, you know, or using dialed down metaphors that painted in a certain way could still hold a message or a contained urgency that needs to be presented. But it's about dialing things back and making it not, I don't want to go too far down that way because maybe people won't get it, but it's good to have hints of things that have been dialed back that seem to contain a lot more power than what they're expressing. And it's, that's what you get, a sensation from it rather than seeing what it is. You get a feeling from it, and that's one of the things I'm quite keen on, because it's making work that you're going to feel as well as view. And I think if you can dial back through images, it gives you more of a sense than just something you're looking at.
You've also said that you started quite late in life, maybe, that you were one of two mature students, I think you said, in your foundation year. So you were 34 when you began your degree.
Yeah.
You think that helped form your art, though?
Definitely.
That maturity.
Yes, definitely. I think that I've been, I say, just gaining experience really throughout the years with tattoo sign writing, bits of set design, all these other things, and just training various skills. And now I've gone all out to be a painter, which is what's happening, freelance artist, and that it's definitely been beneficial to start later in life, I think, because I've been gaining experience and life experience as well, and having a more mature view of things. And I think for many years I was doing things without really thinking about them or knowing why I was doing them and just getting on with it. But now I've got a much more considered approach, which is probably good and bad, but that's what's happening now. But I think it's a much more mature and interesting approach than what I had been doing.
So exciting, your first solo show. How are you feeling about it?
It's really exciting, actually, to be working with Dave, because it's, like I say, it's such a great size space and a great gallery, and in an interesting spot as well. And to be able to do with pretty much whatever I want has been great. It's given me a freedom to show what I actually want to show, because not all, I don't expect to sell all these pieces. I do them because I like doing them, and it's not always a pretty vision of what I'm seeing, but it's I feel it necessary to make.
But you also, you branched out into lots of other things. You were talking about that you're in just being involved in a new game which is coming out in a couple of days, I think.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. It's I was doing an art fair, my first art fair actually, which was the Saatchi one, the other art fair in Truman Brewery, Shoreditch. This is the one where I'd saved up everything, sold whatever I could, and then raised the money to do it. And I'd made my money back on the first few days. So on the last day, I had the chance to show all the things that I really wanted to show, which was I'd say darker stuff. And I managed to get them up and get a lot of interest from it, because it's the sort of thing that people do like, because it has an effect. It's current, the comments are quite humorous, but the images are quite dark, and it's not so much what people want to hang in their house, but it does, I feel it does need to be seen. And that turned out quite well, because one of the guys who walked past it started chatting to me and saying, well, we're actually working on a game at the moment, would you be interested in featuring some of your work in the game? So I said, okay, this sounds cool, what's the game? Oh, what's that? I said, who do you work for? And he said, EA Games. I was like, I think I've heard of them. Yes, nice, what's the game? And he said, Need for Speed. And I was like, yep, definitely heard of that one. That's pretty big. So yes, I'd be very keen to do that. So after a few emails back and forth, sent him a load of images, and he was happy to include my stuff in the game. And I've since received back a load of screenshots of my work featured in there, and then there's going to be a load more of it around, so I'll have to hopefully get a free copy and then go exploring.
So do you like that sort of fluidity that you can, you know, there's the painting, the music, you know, the sort of branching out into all sorts of sort of games and all sorts of things like that? Is that how you like to work, rather than being constricted into one genre or medium?
Oh god, yeah, I'd have to do that. You know, I mean, I have a main continuous method, which is the painting, but then there's all these things along the way that kind of crop up, and it's definitely good to explore them and see what else you can do with it and where you can take it. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast with Catherine McAllister from oxinabox.co.uk.